welcome to the program. Today we're in number 5 in our series on the importance of sound doctrine. I think that most sincere Christians would agree that there can be no doctrine that is more important than the doctrine of salvation. If we have an unsound doctrine concerning the subject of salvation, it won't matter much if we have it all figured out where the standard is for music and where the standard is for separation and all these other things. They are important, not saying they're not important. But if we are going to have a unsound doctrine concerning the subject of salvation, then the rest really doesn't matter. We need to know for sure what we're talking about when we're talking about the subject of salvation. We're going to look at it in a minute, but before we do, make this your honest prayer. Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whate'er seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart, dwell thou within my heart. Grant that I never part, Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power, teach me by love, teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest, leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King, soul to cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Teach me to live, to die, saved by thy grace.
It is not by chance that the little book of Jude is placed just before the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation tells us in those seven letters to those seven pastors about the Laodicean age that we're living in now. And one of the problems of the church at Laodicea was they were focused on numbers. They had to get the crowds up. Well, it's not, as I said, it's not by chance that the book of Jude comes in here. And Jude starts out in Jude 1, verse number 3, saying, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. The common salvation. He said, I gave all diligence. Now, that means the greatest possible amount of diligence that he could give. And the word diligence has been translated haste twice, and obviously there was some urgency in the writing here that Jude was writing concerning what he calls the common salvation. Now, contrary to what has been taught in our churches and what has been taught in our commentaries, Jude did not change his mind concerning what he wrote about. A common salvation was being promoted because certain men had crept in unawares. Jude 1, verse number 4. The Greek word translated common here is koinos, K-O-I-N-O-S, and it has been translated defiled, unclean, and unholy in the following verses. Mark 7 and verse 2, it is translated defiled. I gave all diligence to write unto you of the defiled salvation. Romans 14, 14, three times this word is translated unclean. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 29, the same Greek word is translated unholy thing. Now, the urgency was that a defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation was running rampant among the churches, and we are dealing with the same problem today, but I don't see much urgency concerning this situation. And the problem is, as we have mentioned before, in recent years, so-called fundamental leaders have come up with a plan that repentance is the enemy of soul winning. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The new philosophy of soul winning and this common, this unholy, defiled, unclean plan of salvation is, no, just pray a prayer. After all, what we have to do is we got to get the numbers up, and if you're going to tell people they have to repent, well, that's a kind of embarrassing. That's humiliating. We don't want to humiliate anybody. Just get them to pray a little prayer like the Catholics do, and we'll all go to heaven when we die. No, you won't. Jesus said, are you listening to me? Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, there's a little word in the Bible. It's spelled B-U-T, but. The word but occurs just under 4,000 times in the Word of God. But is a conjunction that is used to introduce something contrasting with what has already been mentioned. We have a couple of examples in the book of Jude. Jude 1 and 6, it says, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. In Jude 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, when Jude wrote in urgency about this common salvation, there's no but in what he had to say here. Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saint. There's no but here. He doesn't say, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, but it was needful. No, he said, when I gave all diligence and this urgency to write unto you about this defiled, unholy, unclean plan of salvation that is going around. He said, I wanted to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. To contend is to assert something as a position in an argument, and to do it with conviction. To assert something is to state a fact confidently and forcefully. Yeah, say it out loud, state it. And again, here in verse number 3, Jude said, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. He gave all diligence. Diligence is conveying the thought of anxiety, of watchful interest, of being very earnest. It is translated with haste. It is translated earnest care. This is something that cannot wait. He said, it was needful for me, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He said, it was needful for me, and to exhort, that means to produce a particular effect. That's what he wanted here. He was exhorting them so as to produce a particular effect. And what was that effect? That they should earnestly, did you get that word? They should earnestly contend for the faith. It was needful. That, as we said, has been translated distress 3 times. When a doctor's patient goes into distress, that patient is in serious trouble. And Christians were to earnestly contend for the faith. To contend about a thing as a combatant is what the dictionary says, engaged in a conflict. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He said, I fought a good fight. The problem in Jude's day was the Bible creeps. The Bible says here in verse number 4, Jude chapter 1, for there are certain men who crept in unaware. Bible creeps. The Bible says concerning them, verse 4, they were ungodly men. Verse 4 says they crept in unawares. They were turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. They were denying the Lord. They were feasting among them, it says in verse 12. And they were again among them, verse number 15. Paul the Apostle wrote about the very same problem back here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And then he went on to say, which is not really another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, that Paul the Apostle and his group, that's a pretty good group of fundamentalists there. But though we, or an angel from heaven, wow, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And because he knows most Christians are slow to understand, he said it again. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, as we mentioned in a previous program, this word accursed is anathema, and it does not mean going to hell. According to Strong's Concordance, the word anathema has nothing to do with going to hell. It was an Old Testament type of publicly exposing those who were doctrinally wrong by hanging their names upon the walls of the columns of the temple or in some other conspicuous place. That's what a concordance, Strong's Concordance, says that word anathema means. It's a type of our local church discipline of today. Now, I want to mention that there's 2 types of apostates here in this book of Jude. Some are unsaved promoters of apostasy, and some are Christians promoters of apostasy. Peter refers to Christians promoting apostasy. That's an amazing thing. In 2 Peter 2:1, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in a damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that bought them. That word bought has been translated redeemed 3 times. Even denying the Lord that redeemed them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. That word destruction has been translated waste 2 times. Over 100 years ago, Gypsy Smith warned about our new present-day common salvation. In his message entitled Repent Ye, Gypsy Smith said, quote, I'm afraid that in our zeal to get people into the kingdom of the church, we have lowered the standard. I am afraid that in our zeal to get people into what we call the church, we have been more anxious about heads than hearts. In order to capture, we have compromised and lost. We have been more concerned about filling our church registers than we have about the kingdom, unquote. We should have listened to Gypsy Smith. Today we have this new common salvation. I call it an incentive salvation. Just like the business world, we offer an incentive to get people to say yes to our sales pitch. We offer the incentive of heaven to all who will simply pray a prayer. We ask the question, would you like to know for sure that you will go to heaven when you die? Well, who wouldn't? Well, Jesus never offered heaven as an incentive for people to be saved. And neither did any of his followers in the early church. Heaven is a tremendous byproduct of salvation. However, salvation deals with our repenting of our sin against God. Man needs to repent, and he needs to understand that he needs to fall on his face and repent before God, even if there were no such place as heaven. And there is. What I'm saying is, it's a tremendous byproduct. Why should we repent? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. It glorifies God when we repent of our sins. And so, never mind the incentive. What we need to do is just preach the truth of the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit do His work. Years ago, A.W. Tozer said the crowds at any price mania has taken a firm grip on Christianity and is the motivating power of a shockingly high percentage of all religious activity. Yeah, he called it religious activity. He's right. Tozer continued, in our eagerness to make converts, I am afraid we have lately been guilty of using the technique of modern salesmanship, unquote. Over 50 years ago, A.W. Tozer, in his message, The Old Cross and the New, talked about a new type of meeting, a new type of preaching, a new Christianity that makes no unpleasant demands. Rather, it offers the same thing the world does, only on a higher level. He said the new cross does not slay the sinner, it just redirects him. The old cross is a symbol of death. The man in Romans times who took up his cross and started down the road had already said goodbye to his friends. In coming to Christ, he said, we do not bring our old life up into a higher plane. We leave it at the cross. He also said, we who preach the gospel must not think of ourselves as public relation agents sent to establish good between Christ and the world. We must not imagine ourselves commissioned to make Christ acceptable to big business, the press, the world, or sports, or modern education. We are not diplomats, we are prophets, and our message is not a compromise, but an ultimatum. He said, let us preach the old cross, and we will know the old power. That was A.W. Tozer in 1960. D.L. Moody said at the end of his life, he said, I believe we are making a woeful mistake in taking so many people into the church who have never been truly convicted of sin. Well, there you have it, the old and the new. D.L. Moody, Gypsy Smith, A.W. Tozer. 100 years ago, Gypsy Smith had his eyes on this, and over 50 years ago, Tozer was preaching the same thing, and before that, D.L. Moody. Well, let's go back 2,000 years. Jude said he gave all diligence, all urgency, because of this common salvation, this defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation that was infiltrating 2,000 years ago. Well, here it is again today, and as 2 Peter says, that there will be some among us even denying the Lord that bought them, that redeemed them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. We're living there today. Wake up. It's time to realize that we need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Anything other than that is not sound doctrine.
I'm pressing on the upward way. No heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. My faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.